inches away, where everything multiplies at an amazing rate. We're out here in the universe buying real estate. Hope we haven't gotten here too late.
Welcome back to the program. Hope we haven't tackled this problem of climate change too late to make a difference. We're going to find out from someone who has been in the forefront of trying to raise awareness about global warming, and it's a pleasure to honor Tim Flannery. It's an honor, I should say, to have him and to welcome him to the program. Tim Flannery is an Australian mammalogist, biologist, writer, humanist, paleontologist, also an accomplished author, and 2007 Australian of the Year is what he was voted. So he's on a tour of the United States. We're going to find out what that's about. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
You really created quite a stir with your book, The Weathermakers. Tell us what's behind the writing of it and what it's been like ever since you published it in terms of response, both here in the United States as well as in Australia.
Yeah, well, what I set out to do was to just relate to people the science behind climate change in an unbiased, non-alarmist manner, so people could make up their own their minds about this issue. And I think once it's explained clearly to you and you understand what's causing it, how it's starting to unfold and what the threats in fact are, people do take it much more seriously. And I wanted to be able to reach everyone with it. So I didn't want, for example, Republicans picking it up and thinking, oh, this is just a soft left Democrat load of rubbish. So I wanted to make it objective as I could. And look, it has had quite an impact. It's sold lots of copies around the world in about 32 languages now, which is fantastic. And we've noticed since it was published in Australia a significant shift in public perception of the issue there. And I think there's a lot of things have brought that about, not just my book. But, now it is the issue for Australians, and we face an election in about 6 or 7 months' time. And it looks as if climate change will be the top issue at that election, so I'm very pleased about that.
And yet Australia joins us as being distinctively not a part of the Kyoto Protocol.
That's right. There's only two of us now. There used to be four, you know, with Liechtenstein and Monaco, but they've deserted. They've gone over and signed. So it's only Bonnie and Clyde, as Al Gore would say.
And we're a little larger than Liechtenstein and Monaco, I'd say.
That's right.
Collective impact. Well, that's the irony, of course, is that, you know, we're the biggest contributors to it. And you're feeling the effects in Australia. I know you're in the middle of, or I shouldn't say the middle of, you're in the 10th year of a drought, is that correct? Severe drought?
That's right, about the 10th year. And it's just got worse and worse and worse. And this year is looking like the crisis year, unless we get some significant rainfall. There is not a city in Australia, except perhaps Darwin in the far north, that doesn't have a water crisis. And water is being rationed everywhere. There's restrictions. You can't wash your car with a hose. You can't water your garden or your lawn over much of Australia. My own home state of New South Wales is now 97% drought declared, which is extraordinary. And the flow in our rivers and streams is at an all-time low. It's only a quarter as much as the worst flow rates recorded in the last 200 years of history.
Now, didn't Australia recently ban conventional light bulbs?
We did. The political response is slowly building in Australia. We're not seeing anything truly meaningful like carbon trading yet, although it's being discussed. But we have a very intelligent environment minister. In fact, he used to head up Goldman Sachs, so he knows how to get things done. Mm. And that was one of his first initiatives.
Mm. And any signs that they're moving towards, you know, really signing on to, if not Kyoto proper, something equivalent to that, besides the light bulb, which is a start, but it's small in the big picture?
It is. Look, I don't think that they'll sign on to Kyoto. You don't see politicians with that degree of humility required to admit that they're wrong, and very often. So I don't think we'll see that in Australia. But we may see other initiatives, and we may see, commitments perhaps in the second round of Kyoto to targets for Australia. The public really wants this. I mean, you know, the last polling I saw suggested that 70% of Australians wanted something done about climate change, even if it cost the economy significantly.
I would imagine that that's the case for the United States. Anyone who's not in this country might suspect we're not a part of this because we're not officially a part of Kyoto. But if you poll Americans, they very much think that we need to cap our emissions and go farther, even than Kyoto goes, of course. It's the minimal amount of reductions we could hope for.
Well, indeed. And, you know, the water situation in Australia is so bad that there's some towns and cities now that are having water freighted out to them in freight trains. You know, there's government handouts everywhere. We're seeing the first bout of species extinctions now for 50 years in Australia. Small native rodents, the marsupials that live in the snow country, small fish in our rivers are now all under severe threat of extinction with population declines in the order of 90% or more over the last few years. And, of course, the Barrier Reef is looking disastrous. So it's, it really, when I wrote the book 2 years ago, I couldn't have imagined how severe the impacts would become so quickly in my country.
So are average Australians alarmed about this? It sounds from your recitation pretty alarming.
Very much so. There's nowhere to hide from it. You know, even if you live in the city, you're still hit by those water restrictions and you're very, very aware of it. But rural people, of course, they have a much clearer view of what's happening. They live on the land, they measure the rainfall, they live or die by the rain, and they live with much of our biodiversity. So they're more aware, but even in the cities, there is very high levels of awareness, as that polling I mentioned earlier would suggest.
We are speaking with Tim Flannery. He is the author of several books, including The Weathermakers, The History and Future Impact of Climate Change. It was published a couple of years ago, and since then, a young person's edition of that book has come out called We Are the Weathermakers. We're going to continue our conversation with Mr. Flannery right after the break. We're going to find out what he thinks must be done and also find out a little bit more about his U.S. tour. We'll be back. You're listening to EcoTalk. You can find us on the web at www.ecotalk.net. I don't want this feeling to go away.